In keeping with my new resolution to get cut the clutter out really early, I had actually recorded something on the Thailand crisis today because many of you have been asking about it. And just my luck that just today I figured that the really cluttery story at this point, which is right now buzzing in most of your heads, is what's happening in Pakistan, or more specifically the Sindh province of Pakistan, or even more narrowly focused on Karachi. Karachi is Pakistan's only true big crowded metropolis. No insult to Lahore, but Karachi is like a Mumbai sized metropolis or a Kolkata sized metropolis, the only one that Pakistan has. Now, what's happened there is quite unprecedented, and it would be unprecedented even if it happened in a country which is known to be less controlled by an authoritarian power, which in Pakistan's case is the army. What's happened in Sindh province of Pakistan is that almost the entire top brass of the police force there, officers of what is called as Police Service of Pakistan, PSP, which is Pakistan's equivalent of IPS in India, Indian Police Service. So PSP officers, I presume Pakistan has a cadre system, state cadre system like India's, although I was not able to confirm it, but those PSP officers posted in Sindh all applied for leave yesterday. All applied for leave for 2 months, not a day or two or a week or a casual leave or not mass casual leave, as you see usually with striking people, government employees. So they applied for 2 months privileged leave, and all with identical applications. Now, identical applications said something like that police leadership has not only been ridiculed and mishandled, but all ranks of Sindh police have become demoralized, and in such a stressful situation, it is quite difficult for me to discharge my duties in a professional manner. Now, this is the standard text that these officers wrote. So how many officers were these? IGP, who's the head of the police. Now, Pakistan obviously is a slightly different structure. The IGP in Pakistan is a 3-star officer. In India, IGP would be 2-star and DGP would be 3-star. So IGP, who's in charge of police in the entire state, Mushtaq Maher, applied for leave. After that, 2 additional IGPs, 7 DIGs, 6 senior superintendents of police, and then not to be left behind, 3 SHOs also sent leave applications, then a bunch of sub-inspectors and others, all identical leave applications. Important thing in Pakistan is, this was not a protest against a government. Elected governments in Pakistan, anybody can walk all over them. Particularly, uniformed people can walk all over all elected governments. Also, you can fight with the central government or the federal government in Pakistan, because Sindh is one province in Pakistan which has a non-PTI, non-Pakistan Tehreek-e-Insaf, or its allies government. So it's the opposition's government, Pakistan People's Party, which is the Bhutto Zardari Party. They are in power in Sindh. Traditionally, it's their stronghold. Now, they could have also fought with the federal government, but in this case, the protest is not against the federal government. The protest is not against Imran Khan. And that is what makes this story more interesting and important. This is a protest against the one institution in Pakistan, the one holy cow in Pakistan that nobody dares to question. That is the Pakistan Army and Pakistan Army Chief General Bajwa. So what's happened in this case is, and what is the protest about? On the night of 18th and 19th of this month, we know that on the 18th, the Pakistani Combined Opposition 11 party group called Pakistan Democratic Movement, they got together and they held a humongous rally outside Qaid-e-Azam Muhammad Ali Jinnah's mausoleum in Karachi. So that is like holding a big rally outside, say, the father of our nation, the Rajghat in Delhi. So for Pakistan, that is their central key monument. After that, a bunch of Pakistani soldiers, you can say. Now there is doubts about who they were they army soldiers? The pretense was they were rangers. Now rangers in Pakistan are the equivalent of border security force in India. They are the border troopers. They are a federal force, just like our central armed police forces. So Sindh police wasn't used to do this because Sindh police is under Sindh government. Sindh government is under Pakistan People's Party. Pakistan People's Party is a member, key member of this opposition conglomeration which held this rally. So there is no way they will come to arrest a leader of a party which is their own constituent. So in this case, this bunch of rangers came to the hotel at night where Maryam Nawaz, that is Nawaz Sharif's daughter, was staying with her husband, Captain Safdar, who's a retired army officer, but used to be Nawaz Sharif's ADC the first time Nawaz Sharif became Prime Minister. Now, they came, they broke through the door, arrested Safdar, took him away, then let him out on bail. What was the charge? The charge was that he was shouting slogans at the Qaeds Mazar, not outside, but that he had scaled the wall, gone inside, also instigated his followers to go inside. And while the followers were then around the wall of the inner sanctum, he climbed that wall also and stood next to to Jinnah's grave and shouted slogans. Now, what were those slogans? The only recordings I find, the only authentic reports I see, say vote ko izzat do, which means honor the vote. What that means is once you elect a government, you let the government function, then the agencies, the army, the rest, the powers that be, don't interfere with it. But there is a lot of rumor mongering in Pakistan, and there is a lot of other stuff coming out, particularly in Urdu press, that is shouted insulting slogans or etc. etc. But I don't think that's correct. So on that charge, that he caused offense to the Qaed-e-Azam's mausoleum, a national monument, he was arrested and bailed out. Now the question is, if Sindh has the government of PPP, and PPP is a key constituent of this opposition Morcha, then how could their police come and arrest him? So their police wouldn't. So the story goes that because Sindh police wouldn't do it, and any federal force or central force could not have done it without a warrant or without an FIR from the local police. So a large bunch of people went and surrounded the Inspector General of Police's house, that is police chief's house. So in India, we've had this proliferation of ranks, which Pakistan for some reason hasn't. So the IG is the boss of the state. They broke into his house, it seems. Then some people went in, and these are people who nobody messes with in Pakistan. So presumption is they were people from the ISI who were well recognized. They went in, they picked up the IGP, took him someplace else and made him sign an FIR authorizing the arrest of Captain Safdar. Now this has caused this resentment. That is the reason why all these officers of Sindh police went into this unprecedented revolt in a country run, owned by the army, another uniformed force, which is the police in an entire province. And you find in this list SSP of Sakhar, SSP of some other district. So this is almost like the entire brass. And as I said, a few SHOs, a few sub-inspectors also have all joined in. And then not only have they applied for leave, they've tweeted that they have applied for leave in protest. They have also tweeted the copies of their leave applications, all using the same language which I had just read out to you. And among the people who have applied for this leave also are some really prominent names besides the senior officers. Seniority is not the only thing that determines prominence. There is also an officer called Sohai Aziz Talpur. Now, Sohai Aziz Talpur is again one of the very few women officers in the police service of Pakistan. She's only the third Sindhi woman to join the police service of Pakistan. Just as, you know, any province in India, now we have more women in the IPS, but still, there are not that many women in the IPS. The balance is quite skewed. She's only the third Sindhi officer to join the PSP, and she became quite a celebrity 2 years ago when she was 30 years old during the terrorist assault on the Chinese consulate in Karachi. She led the police action, the commando action over those, against those terrorists. In that, the three terrorists were killed, two policemen were killed, and two civilians were killed. And you see pictures of her, and pictures of her with a gun ahead of these commandos then became quite widely circulated, and she rose as a star in Pakistan. So she's among those who took this leave, and that's how this became a very big story. Now, you know, we are a strange country. Something goes wrong in India, in Pakistan, there will be very exaggerated reports. In fact, a lot of people on both sides wish that the other one should go to hell. You can wish it, but you know, when you also circulate it on mass media, it causes disinformation. So similarly, you have a lot of information, a lot of stories coming out in India. There is a firefight going on between Pakistani army soldiers and Sindh police. So many people have got killed. I've confirmed with many authentic sources, so far at least, no such thing has happened. So please don't exaggerate this, and don't imagine things, because that doesn't help. But what has happened is bad enough for Pakistan, and what has happened is significant enough for us to take notice in the neighborhood. Now, why has this happened? Now, you have to understand that Pakistan is a very mixed up country. You might have the army as its center of power and the central pillar of its establishment, but because it has to keep its pretense of democracy, it cannot remove an elected government and take over power directly now. That era is over. So whatever happens, it needs some Imran Khan in front, as its front man. So they need this veneer of democracy as in their provinces. So what happens is, if a province has a government that Imran Khan doesn't like, because Imran Khan is a selected prime minister, then they don't remove that government and appoint a general to run that province. They don't do that, but they then orchestrate the removal of that government, if it's possible, if the government has some vulnerabilities, and help install a friendly government. That is precisely what they had done a couple of years back in the state of Balochistan, which also was not ruled by either PTI or a PTI ally. PTI is Pakistan Tehreek-e-Insaf. Now, that is the case that Nawaz Sharif spoke about in his televised lecture speech that he delivered in the Gujranwala rally, where he said, Lieutenant General Asim Bajwa, you brought down an elected government of Balochistan for which you should be charged with high treason under Article 6 of Pakistan's constitution. So they brought down that government, they installed another government there, led by a leader of a new party called BAP, Balochistan Awami Party, which is now aligned with the PTI. In Sindh, it is tough to do it because PPP is very popular there and very powerful. So Pakistani army could not have removed them, and Pakistani army also cannot fight them beyond a point. So when these officers all protested, now you might ask me the next point of clutter in our heads, that how can in a country like Pakistan, a uniformed force, the police, and that too senior officers protest like this and make a public spectacle of this. So think about it again. Because Pakistan has to have a veneer of democracy, even the Pakistani army, elected governments, they also have to have a structure of federalism. Now, no federalism is perfect, not even in America, which I would say is the most federal of all. In India, we've been moving in that direction, but now with one party becoming very powerful across the country, we might see pressures in the other direction. So federalism coming down, although we talk of cooperative federalism. In Pakistan, it's very different. In Pakistan, it's very different because the federal government usually itself is not fully empowered, because a lot of the power sits with the armed forces, with the army and the powers that be. In that situation, it's a rare provincial government which is under an opposition party. In this case, this is a powerful opposition party. It's also a significant province with Pakistan's largest city by far. So this has some power. So because law and order is a state subject in the federal system, the state government can instigate or encourage officers in the police service allocated to its cadre or its state to raise the banner of protest like this, not against the central government, but against the army or army excesses. So if you really want to understand this, think of it like this. If Narendra Modi's government decided to do something really outrageous, say in Kolkata, and then went out and arrested a leader of an ally of Mamata Banerjee's party there using central forces, after having kidnapped her DGP overnight, got him to forcibly sign some FIRs or some warrants, then how would West Bengal government respond? Maybe some people in West Bengal police, IPS people allocated to it, could have protested, but still not like this, because they would have thought that ultimately I have to go for central postings, I am part of a central pool, etc., etc. So when you understand all that, you understand the degree of difficulty involved in this and the degree of challenge involved in this, and that is why this is a much more significant story. And who first put the news out that the IG had been kidnapped? Because after the arrest, everybody said, how could Captain Safdar be arrested in Karachi, which is run by Pakistan People's Party? So former governor of Sindh, a man called Mohammad Zubair, and now Mohammad Zubair is from Pakistan Muslim League, but former governor of Sindh, he made an audio statement, and that audio statement went viral, saying that the IG had been kidnapped, and that's how this FIR had been signed. So what's happened now is that now obviously all the opposition protested. Maryam Nawaz Sharif said, I stand with Sindh police, and that became a kind of a trend among Pakistan's opposition. And then even Bilawal Bhutto Zardari, who is the leader of Pakistan People's Party, he also issued a statement directed at the army chief, not at the prime minister, not at Imran Khan, saying that investigate your institution, which means investigate the army and how it is behaving in this province. Because everybody knows that if ISI carried out this action and used the rangers in it, they could not have done it unless they had higher level clearance. What has happened now is again unprecedented. Pakistan Army Chief has called Bilawal Bhutto Zardari and promised him that he will hold an investigation, what's happened is wrong, and he will take action. He's also talked to the Sindh Police Chief, etc., and Sindh Chief Minister, and assured them that there will be an inquiry and he regrets what has happened and he will punish the guilty if he finds anybody guilty. In response to that now, and you will see that statement issued by Sindh police, again a very interesting statement, they've said, in view of this assurance, we are keeping our leave applications in abeyance. They are not withdrawing them. They are saying we are keeping our leave applications in abeyance for 10 days. So what that means is that Sindh police has actually given a 10-day ultimatum to Pakistan's army. That is a very significant event in Pakistan. This kind of a pushback, one, pushback of the federal system against central control. Second, pushback of a state against the most powerful institution of the country, which is the army. Third, it's a fight back by another uniformed force in Pakistan, which is the police, against the army. Next, it is a fight back by the top officers, not by the constabulary, not by the larger janta. All these are people who can be easily identified. So that is the story. It is serious enough, but for heaven's sake, don't buy into all these stories of civil war has broken out. This is a kind of civil war, but this is a civil war of letters, applications, protests like this. it's a civilized civil war, if I may so. This idea that this is some kind of a civil war where arms are being used and scores of people are getting killed, there is no need to exaggerate anything, because once you exaggerate, then you start moving into the area of falsehoods. What's happened, once again, I will underline, what's happened is significant enough without exaggeration.